Is it recording now?
One must not get one's knickers in a twist.
I'm trying.
These are the stories your granny never told.
Clint Eastwood loved my apple pie.
I was raising a cow and 50 sheep and 2 chickens.
I slipped upon some spilled onions on the road and crashed my motorbike.
It's 2021 and things are still not great. Hey guys, it's Nikki. I'm your host for the Stories Your Granny Never Told podcast. It is a monthly podcast where I interview older folk about their unexpected life stories. This month, the episode is so great. I love this person that I interviewed. I've been like following her on social media and building up the courage to try and interview her, and I can't wait. Some top of the day announcements. I got selected to be a candidate on the game show podcast America's Next Top Podcaster. I'm super duper excited, and I have no idea when it's going to air. It's probably a while from now, but I thought you guys should be the first to know. And it's possible that I put this podcast on pause for a little bit while I'm doing that, because it's a lot of work, but you'll see updates all over social media. We are at Stories Your Granny Never Told on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. I actually just created a new group on Facebook for the SYGNT listeners for us to all hang out, chat about upcoming episodes, ask questions that you have for the future interviewees, etc. I think that would be really cool. Otherwise, everything you could ever need, show notes, pictures of the guests, is all at storiesyourgrannynevertold.com. You can also email us there, and there's a link there for merch and transcripts. So really everything you could ever need. So the guest this month, if you haven't seen, is Tina Pina. She's known as the mother of pigeons. Yeah, not the mother of dragons, the mother of pigeons. And she's so cool. She is a visual artist. She makes all her own clothes. She feeds pigeons. She makes these little felt pigeons that she sells on Union Square, if you've ever seen her there in New York City. And I want to be her when I grow up, basically. The one part about this interview that really sucks is that there was about 15 to 20 minutes in the beginning when I got there, because this was like an in-person interview for the first time in a while, and we were safe, we had masks, we were social distanced, but Tina brought me up on the roof to show me her flock of wild pigeons and to feed them with very nice seed, not bread, and the whole time my recorder wasn't recording, and I'm so sad. And it was such an epic moment. There were like 300 pigeons. They made an amazing noise. And then this falcon, I think it was a peregrine falcon, showed up, and Tina got really mad because she didn't want it to eat her pigeons, and she was yelling and chasing it away. And this whole time I was thinking, like, this is such good audio. Everyone's gonna love this. And it wasn't recording. And when I got home and I noticed, I was so disappointed. But that's what happens when you're an indie podcaster, so I hope my retelling of the story is enough. And plus, the rest of the interview is amazing. We got to listen to a puppet show, music by Tina and her husband, and all about her life as an artist and a pigeon whisperer. I can't wait for you to hear it. So without any further ado, I present to you Mother Pigeon. Okay, so please introduce yourself, and you can hold the mic like really right up.
Okay. Hi, I'm Mother Pigeon.
All right, and do you want to tell me your age, or we can keep it secret too?
Sure. I am proud to be 56.
All right, that's actually closer than to my age group than I thought. You look younger in your pictures.
Oh, thank you.
or you look younger than I thought you were. Sorry, that almost sounded like an insult, but I meant it as a compliment. So yeah, I actually decided to interview you because I think I found you either on Pinterest or on Instagram, and I instantly was like, this lady seems so cool. I actually love pigeons, like, without knowing your work, and then I looked into it. And so you make these like felted sculptures, and you do, I guess, performance art?
I do, yeah. I make pigeons out of felt and wire, and then I set them up in public parks or public places. And I get to just hang out with them and sell them and talk about them. It's really fun.
And so have you been in New York your whole life?
No, moved here in the late 80s and then moved away for about 10 years, but then have been back here for about 20 years.
Were you homesick?
Yeah. I mean, we were living in Seattle, which was great. You know, there's nothing like New York.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can agree with that.
Yeah.
So what was your first pigeon? How did it all start?
It all started because I love pigeons and I love animals of all kinds. And I'm not like a bird lover. I've never been like, you know, a bird lover at all. It's always just been all kinds of animals. In New York, that's all we really have. You know, we have the pigeon, we have rats, which I also love. And also, I think, too, the fact that people just hate them so much and that they get such a bad, they have such a bad reputation made me love them even more.
Yeah, you wanted to, like, look out for the underdog kind
exactly,
of thing.
Exactly.
So when did you start feeding them? Just like you've done it forever or you...
I started feeding them. I am the kind of person that likes to feed everybody and anything and
sure.
anyone. So it's probably some sort of weird thing. It might, you know, who knows? It might be some sort of, I don't know. But anyway, I equate food as love. And so feeding.
A lot of people do that.
Yeah. I don't know if that's a healthy thing, but that's what I do. And so I can't really hold a pigeon or hug the pigeon. I can love them by looking at them from afar, but I can also feed them. Was like, oh, I'm gonna do that. So that's how I just started feeding them and feeding I feed the rats too. So
you mentioned when we were up on the roof that you started like what, 7 years ago?
Well, I started feeding pigeons in the park first, like Washington Square Park and wherever I would go. And then, of course, there's pigeons around here. So I started feeding them on my roof. And there was about a flock of 7 pigeons. And over the years, they pretty much just come from all over the neighborhood. So they see a big flock and then they go, oh, well, you know. There must be some food over there. So that's how my flock has gotten to be. How many pigeons, would you have thought that?
I'm bad at, I'm going to say between 300 and 500.
Yeah.
It was a lot.
I don't think it's that many. I mean, if I look at them while they're moving around on the roof and I go 10, 20, 30. Okay, so if there's 50 in that group.
Yeah,
that
maybe
group,
it's just like 200.
I think it's about 200.
200, okay. Yeah, I usually overestimate.
Yeah.
5,000 pigeons.
Yeah, I know. It looks like so much.
With the noise.
When they're flying, they look like a lot. But when they're on the ground and I can kind of look at them, I think 200.
Okay. So in general, you're an artist. And is it all focused around pigeons? You do other things?
Well, I actually have always loved art and making things and, you know, just making whatever, everything, my clothes, my curtains, everything.
Actually, I just realized, like, there's a lot of homemade stuff in here and it looks awesome.
Oh, I cannot stand things that are mass produced. It just, it goes against this right here.
Who you are.
Yeah, I really have such a... feeling whenever you know, it's a mass produced thing. It doesn't feel right. A lot of times, like if I want something, I'm like, oh well, I need a new purse or I need I want to have this or that. It's like, well, I'm gonna make it.
Well, yeah, your sewing machine is right behind you actually.
yeah, I just make everything and I just like the feel of it and the look of it. And, you know, I mean, I don't know how long we're all going to be on this earth. And I like things to, I just like the feel of and look of something that, that I made. I don't really even understand what that means.
I get it though. Cause like, even though maybe it's a little wonky or whatever, like I knit and I sew a little bit, but I don't have a machine anymore. you made it, and you made it in the colors that you like and the texture that you like. Yep. And, you know, you can see the details of where you may be messed up or whatever, but you're not going to find that anywhere in a store. So
no.
you just look maybe how you feel on the inside rather than how the two choices that you have of mass produced stuff. So yeah. I definitely get that.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
And how is it like being an artist in New York specifically? Do you have like a big group of other artists or do they not like you because of the pigeon stuff? I don't know.
It's a good question. So I do have a good amount of friends that are artists and that make dolls or they make different things. Mm-hmm. And or performance artists. I have a good group of performance artist friends that, and it's a very, very important part of my
you need that like support group of other friends.
You need
friends.
That support group. Yeah. You need like someone to say, "Yeah, that's not that great," or "That's sure. really great," or whatever. And
friendly critics.
Yeah, yeah. You want your and you want them to be your friends because they're the ones that are going to tell you, you know, is a good idea or not a good idea. And you know, even like obviously with my husband, who's also a performer and artist, and so if I have an idea, I run it by him and then some other friends. And then if I get like the okay from, you know, let's say four of my highest held ones, it's like, well,
you're like, okay, oh, this shit, is a good
I'm
idea.
Going, I'm going for it. Yeah. And then there's the ones that are like in the park that sell art in Union Square.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a lot of them.
Because you're usually in Union Square.
Yeah. A lot of them do not like me. There is a group of people, there are a lot of people that do like what I do, right? That definitely, that don't care, that are not, you know, angry at me for having the pigeons around or are being the one that, you know, makes sales that day or whatever it is.
Competition as well. I didn't think of that.
It's a little very competitive. It's New York.
Yeah,
you know?
Of course.
Not to mention the space. I take up space that they could have. I also get away with a lot more because I put my art on the ground and I sit on the ground and they
table.
Have to have a table. They have to, you know, follow all these rules and they're just like, oh, great. Here she comes. She's not a real artist. She's, you know, and so
it's kind of silly.
It's so funny. Like a couple of years they got on this whole thing like, oh, you're not fine art. You can't be over here. You know, you got to be over there. You're a novelty act. You're an act. Go over there.
It's crazy the gatekeeping that happens with
artists.
And it's like, isn't art just art and it's subjective anyways?
Yeah.
Like, how do you decide?
Yeah. And so I told some of my, you know, friends that I really love and, you know, see how they would react to that. And they were like, oh, my God.
A lot of it is like copying popular art already. So yeah. You could also say that that's not really art too.
Right, right.
If you wanted to go down that path.
Yeah. So they definitely had me like way on the end. They wouldn't let me in. And if I tried to get in there, they would get really angry. So I found a good spot and they were all following the rules on the medallions. There's these medallions that the artists have to be on and they were doing all that. And then as COVID and everything started getting all crazy,
yeah,
they are breaking all the rules now.
Of course.
So they're doing what I do. They just set up wherever. And so, I don't know. So it's funny because now they're just all over the place and they're doing whatever they want to do. So there's that, you know, there's them. Also, I do get people who really hate pigeons and stuff like that. So I will
so
get...
So they'll go out of their way to like talk to you about how much they hate pigeons even though...
They'll walk by and they'll go, that's disgusting.
Rude. I mean, but again, it's New York, so I guess you just... It's going to happen.
Yeah, they'll walk by, they'll say it's disgusting, they'll kick them. Oh. It doesn't happen often. Well, the disgusting part happens often, but not the kicking or touching them.
Yeah, because if they're disgusting, don't you not want to touch them? Like, make up your mind.
Yeah, yeah. Or even yesterday, I had such a, like, it was like this magical day. I, you know, had my witch's hat on. It was all dressed up. And I'm, like, walking around Union Square, and people were like, ah, you know, and talking with people, feeding the pigeons. And And then I go into Whole Foods to do my shopping, and, you know, whatever. It's just like I'm in there doing my shopping. And this one of the workers walks by, and she goes, oh, what'd she say? She walks by really fast so that I couldn't even react to her. She said something like, ugh, nasty.
Bitch.
And I was like, wow, okay.
Some people just can't, I don't know.
If you're an individual, if you're trying to be an individual, and some people really, I'm trying so hard more and more to try to, you know, to try to understand, you know, this kind of stuff that people, the way people react.
Maybe it helps to know their psychology, because they're definitely not trying to understand.
No. And you know, on the other hand, I'm walking down the street, and this like working class guy in his working class clothes, you know, just like work, you know, and he walks by, he goes, oh, a beautiful witch.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
And just keeps on walking.
I love New York for weird stuff like that. It's
you
the best.
I mean, I was like, I looked at my own. Thank you. He's aww. Like, ah, oh. You know, like, you know, so I get that kind of thing. I can't even tell you how many times I get that on the train. If I'm on the platform, people will
so
be like,
nice.
Can I take your picture? Amazing. You know, so it's like, okay, if I get the ugh, nasty every now and then, it's like, man, there's all
it
these
balances
other,
it out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's such a balance in life anyway. So, yeah, it's interesting. The artist that, you know, my friends, and then, you know, just having that is very important to me. A lot of them have moved because of COVID, which really sucks.
I mean, it's hard to, you know, be an artist right now, I'm sure.
Whew, yeah. So that's been a real bummer because my core has moved. But we're still in touch, and, you know, I think they are going to come back once.
Eventually.
Yeah.
And you didn't have any problems with the cops or anything, being like public artist? They haven't bothered you?
Oh, I've been bothered plenty by cops.
Do you have some stories?
Oh, yeah. Okay, so I had one. This was probably about 3 years ago,
okay,
when they were really cracking down on the artists in Union Square. And they needed you to be on the medallion. They needed you to be on a table. And so I was like, how can I, you know, figure out a way to get around this? So so they come up, and they're, you know, white shirt. They come over and they say, you know, we told you before, you can't be here. You're not on a medallion. You can't be selling anything. And I said, I'm not selling anything. I didn't have my sale thing out because I knew to keep that hidden. And they said, yeah, but you're asking for tips. And I said, well, can't even ask for donations. I mean, the Hare Krishnas ask for donations. And they said, well, you can't.
Okay.
You can't have it seen. We can't see it. You know, we don't want it out.
Okay.
And then I said, okay, well.
Per telepathy then, I guess.
Yeah, and then I'm trying to figure out, you know, and I go, and they go, well, you're just going to have to leave. Like, we'll come around in half an hour and you need to move. And I said, well, actually, you know what? This is my religion.
Okay.
And they go, oh, really? And she's like on her like mic thing. And she goes, what's your religion? And I said, my religion is a religion that is, you know, for nature. And, you know, I'm here. I'm honoring nature. And I kind of like explained whatever I was, you know, doing. And she goes, hold on. She walks away, gets on her little microphone thing. She comes back and she goes, all right, okay,
whatever.
And then walked away.
Oh, that was a good shortcut, I guess.
So that was a good one. So then they stopped bothering me, really.
Okay.
They really, it, hold on, Jason has a comment. Well, pigeon religion.
Pigeon religion.
Yes. Amazing. Thank you, Jason.
Very good tip.
Yes.
That's smart.
And then they left me alone. And then there were times where it got so weird out there where I would have a friend selling dolls on one side, another friend selling their drawn art or whatever. And they would step over me to get to them to tell them to leave because they were leaving me so alone.
Mm, they're like, we don't want a court thing.
Yeah,
with
this lady. Yeah, we don't want a court thing with this crazy one. So so that got pretty funny.
Yeah. I saw that you did this sort of flash mob installation, 300 pigeons, was it? What was that all about?
I did... Well, I wanted to make as many as I could and have an installation that, you know, outside that was 300. And I just... Because I've made thousands and sold them, making, selling. And I never get to have a whole bunch in one
spot.
So I just kind of came up with this idea to have everyone purchase their pigeon, but not get it until after the installation.
Okay.
So then I could bring attention to pigeons and the netting that goes on in the city. And
so actually, I don't know what that is. What is it, like authorities trying to get rid of them?
No, it's a group of people who net the pigeons all over the city and then they sell them to live pigeon shoots in Pennsylvania.
Oh my God. Why would you do that?
Yeah.
Isn't that technically animal abuse? Like, is that legal?
It's legal in Pennsylvania.
Oh, jeez. Oh, I had no idea.
It's not legal for them to trap them here, but they do it. They run around, you know.
Because I do know, like, I don't know how you feel about them, but the Wild Bird Front does, like, rehabilitate injured pigeons, I think.
Yeah. No, I work with them a lot. And,
oh, really?
I was there at their start and everything, and... of course, we take care of lots of pigeons. We all tried to fight against this group that does this netting and selling.
It's Do horrible. You often find injured ones?
Oh, yeah. We find them a lot. Jason finds them. And my friend Amina has a little rescue in her place.
Mm-hmm. And I think I've seen her on Instagram.
Yep. And it's definitely...
I read that, like, because of the way they walk, how they, like, shuffle, they just accumulate all these little strings, and that's what wraps around their toes,
yep.
right? And then they get amputated.
Yeah.
It's not fun.
No.
And so you have your flock here at home, and you have different flocks in the city, I guess, mostly in Union Square.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have I guess Union Square is your favorite spot. Do you have a favorite flock or some specific pigeons that you can point out there?
Well, I mean, okay, so the flock in Union Square, the flocks that are in the parks are much more tame.
Okay.
So they literally land on you, look at you. They know me from far away. They spend a lot of time with me. So I do have some favorites. I have a little squishy face and I have... Squishy Face is right now my favorite. He will, or she, I don't even know what, I think she's a she, stays with me all day.
Aww.
And then I've had other ones that I think get netted. And then, I mean, it really is heartbreaking, you know, when that happens and you go to the park and that bird doesn't show up.
You get attached to them and then they never show up again.
And that bird that doesn't show up, you know that they got netted because one day they're healthy and the next day they're not there.
Yeah.
That is not natural.
Mm.
Yeah.
I also saw you got a lot of press for your recent sort of pandemic expo that you did with the rats. What did it say on the sign again?
Oh, yeah. Well, I put the rats out with little masks on and then it says, ew. Humans are carrying disease.
Because that's obviously what the rats get hate for.
All day long.
You know, they're just trying to survive.
Oh, yeah.
That was really cool. I actually saw that, I think, in the post or something online. I thought that was pretty funny.
Thanks. Yeah. That was a good one.
Another question I have. I wonder about the controversy, if there is any, with bird watchers. Have they ever come up to you and said anything? Because I know they're pretty... you know, lively bunch, at least in Central Park.
Really?
Yeah. So I birdwatch, but I try not to associate with them because some of them can get really crazy. I just like watching from afar. You know, I think birds are cool. I think they don't really like people feeding animals in the park. However, your seed mix is like good. Like, you know, feeding bread is not great. I guess you know that. But your seed mix is really nice. So maybe they don't mind as much. I don't know. But you haven't had problems with them.
No, I No, I'm not sure that they hang out in Union Square.
True.
And if there is a bird person, you know, they're a little more snobby. They like, yeah. you know, they like their pretty birds, you know.
It is true. People, I think people just pass pigeons by too often. Yeah. They're like, cool to watch.
They're dirty or whatever. It's like, oh, they're amazing.
What is in your mix, actually? Because I might steal your secret. Well, unless you don't want to say the secret mix. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. I mean, there's all kinds of things in there. It has the list on the bag. I don't know, but it's like, you know, it's called pigeon food, and it's got a lot of different things.
Some corn
in it.
Real, and some corn, other seeds.
Yep. Millet, corn, flax. I mean, it's got everything
all
in
the
there.
Good stuff.
Yeah. Lentils.
Oh, wow.
Different beans, dried beans. Yeah.
They're healthy.
Yeah.
So you're saying they're nice and fat, and that's why the falcons want to come after
yeah,
them.
Yeah, exactly. They're the juiciest pigeons in all the land.
Oh, I have this random question. Because we're on the roof, if you get pooped on, do you consider that's lucky? Or
yeah, I like to say that when people go, oh, I'm like, oh, you got good luck for the rest of the day. Like,
okay. I wanted to be sure.
Yeah.
I saw on your necklace that you have Nikola Tesla. Mm-hmm. I was sort of actually thinking about him before this because I think he's cool, and he's a huge pigeon. He was a huge pigeon guy, so.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, I love Nikola Tesla. I mean, you know, he's all about energy and quantum physics. I mean, yeah. Super quantum physics guy. And I love that. And I love like imagining all of the light energy that the pigeons see that we don't see. You know, mm-hmm. they have different spectrums in their eyes and they can see more than we do.
Yeah.
And I love to imagine that when they're flying around me, and then I'm, you know, that I am getting that energy too. And and you know, Nikola Tesla believed that, you know, this is just condensed energy. You know, we are just condensed energy, and that
sure.
you know, there's so much around us that we could do. Mm-hmm. You know,
tap into,
and that we're not doing that, but. You know, I love to have fun with that.
Yeah, for sure.
And I love him. He took care of a lot of pigeons, and
in New York too.
Yeah. I've gone to the hotel that he.
Yeah, I've been there as well. There's like a plaque.
Yeah, there's a whole little museum underneath.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
I have to check that out. I know there's like a secret bar where you have to like go through the coffee shop, and it's like Tesla themed. Obviously, I haven't been there yet because 2020. But
yeah.
Yeah, he's a cool personality.
Yeah, he's amazing. Yeah.
In terms of being an artist, since you have been doing this for so long, how have you found that things have changed? I mean, you're like all over social media now. How did you get the word out before?
I don't know. You know, when I first started doing it, I was thinking, God, I don't want to be on social media. I don't want to, you know, maybe I can tell people they can't take pictures because it's only a live experience. And that,
okay, yeah.
You know, and then, you know, that gets way out of.
Doesn't work anymore.
Not a reality anymore. Yeah, I don't know. I have a love-hate relationship with social media, I'm sure, like many
people.
As
a lot of us do, yeah.
Yeah, and I have met some amazing people through it.
Mm-hmm. I'd say you're definitely like a positive presence on my timeline. I always see the picture and I'm like, oh, that just looks nice. Like you seem... from the pictures that he's like a nice person who I think that's why I liked it so much. You seem like, first of all, you don't care about whatever other people think, and I aspire to that mentality, like,
yeah,
just be yourself and do your thing.
Yeah.
And especially in New York, where like everyone can do that, there's room for people to do that.
Yeah
I like that a lot.
That's cool. Yeah, I mean, if I'm in a bad mood and like I'm like, oh, I want to post like a fuck you kind of thing on my Instagram, like, then I have to just think about all the really sweet people I have. Aww. Looking at my feed, and that they, you know, I mean, because overall I am a love, good energy person. And and so if I'm like in a political mode of where I'm like, oh,
yeah,
you know, let me just step back because I don't need to do that to my sweet following, you know, really.
Yeah, that's very kind of you.
Yeah, because you know, they're actually, you know, my following is when I meet them in person, I'm like, oh my God.
Your flock, so to speak.
They're so sweet. Yeah. They're so like smart and thoughtful and, you know, people who really think about things as opposed to like sure. just whatever, you know. It's like, I mean, sure. I mean, if you're going to like Mother Pigeon, you know, and what she does, you've got to be like a little bit more open-minded and you know, kind-hearted, I think.
Yeah. Well, I'll take that as a compliment.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so do you do other forms of animal activism, or is this your like main thing?
I think right now it's my main thing. My heart really cannot do too much of
it. I get that.
It's very yeah. painful to see, like, oh, I saw a picture on my feed of a cow, you know, it was cold, and I was like, oh, I can't.
Yeah, there's too many sad I'm things like, to go
I
around.
I can't.
You just do pigeons, yeah, not, yeah. not the other ones.
Yeah, I'm like, can someone else do that one? Because I got my, that's it, I'm maxed on.
That's okay. You yeah. know, there's not too many people doing pigeons, so you can yeah. do that, and yeah. other people can do other things.
Sure. Yeah.
Sure.
One thing I think about too, as far as like what message or what I'm trying to say in, you know, how I post and story and all that stuff, is just being present, how important that is for me mm-hmm. to be present and to just sit and craft
yeah.
or create whatever it is that I decide to do that day. Because I know, like, I'm prone, like, if I'm around a certain energy person and they're, like, a do person, like, run around, blah, 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 radio on, da, 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 mm-hmm. checking their phone, blah, blah, I can get drawn into that.
It's, like, draining a little bit.
Yeah, and it drains me. Oh, my God, I'll have a headache afterwards and everything.
Yeah.
And so, for me, like, it's really important to just show a slower, like those videos where they're sped up, you know, like
yeah,
oh,
time lapse this, or whatever.
Yeah, time lapse. Here's a painting that's time lapsed. Here's a purse that someone made. It's like, I don't want to see that. I cannot watch that.
Because people have like an attention span of 3 seconds and yeah. you need to get it all into the yeah. 3 seconds.
It's like one day I'm gonna just do like a whole like day of here, you're gonna watch me slowly do my work, how I actually
day.
Do it.
Yeah.
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 And I think, too, I think people see work, you know, like even just like if we look at this little sunshine bird thing yeah. that I made, like if they see something like that, they're like, oh, well, that, you know, how long could that take?
Takes time. I mean, I see that you have like the little wire feet. There's yeah. a bunch of details. Yeah. Like there's art all over here. And I'm sure all of this took hours and hours and hours. And it's kind of part of the thing. Like if you yeah. don't put time into it, then
you don't have it.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's something that I really value in just survival.
Yeah.
Basically, sure. I love the act of cutting the fabric, and I love opening up my little tin that has like my pin cushion in there, then taking the pins out, then threading the needle, and then, ooh, what color of thread am I going to use? Oh, and then I've got these fun little scissors that I have,
oh, yeah.
and then cut it with that. Oh, well, maybe I'll sit in the sun in our front, in our bedroom, but maybe I'll sit back here, or maybe I'll be on the roof while I do this. And it's just all this, like,
it's like a ritual.
Yes. It's all a ritual. Thank you. It is something that I think could help a lot of people, you know, just yeah. to
almost like meditative. Uh-huh. Like you have this repetitive thing that you yeah. do every day or whatever.
Yeah. yeah.
And it forces you to slow down, not look at your screen.
Yeah. Yes.
Just be in the moment, I
yeah.
guess.
Yeah. yeah. It's really. And so growing up, that's how I grew up.
Okay.
We didn't have internet.
Yeah.
So what kept me going as a kid was making things, sitting at my sewing machine.
So you learned how to sew already when you were a kid?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And was it out of necessity or just because it was?
No, I think a lot of people my age did crafts and, mm-hmm. you know.
Got to keep busy.
Yeah, you did that. Although I'm thinking about all my friends that I hung out with that I'm still friends with when we were, you know, 5, 6 years old. they don't actually make anything, which is so funny. But I was the one that had all the puppet shows going on at my, you know, in my yard. I was the one that rallied everybody up to do all kinds of things. And mm-hmm. I haven't really changed at
well,
all.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah. Yeah. I have totally, you know, just love doing these kinds of things. And speaking of puppet shows, it would be really fun to, if you would like to hear one of our songs.
I'd love to put a song on here.
Yeah,
for
yeah.
Sure.
And Frankie is the puppet that I made. Here comes Frankie.
Hello, it's me, Frankie.
Yeah. Frankie is always trying to be the center of attention. I can't believe he stayed quiet this long.
So you guys are recording an album?
Well, Frankie is recording an album.
So tell me about Frankie.
Sure. So I'm Frankie. I'm a pigeon puppet, but I'm recording my own solo record. Called It's Me Waiting in the Wings, Frankie.
Ooh. Which you came up with an hour ago.
I come up with stuff on the hour, by the hour, for the hour.
So at this point, I got to see an entire puppet show with Frankie the Pigeon, which I recorded, and you can see on my Instagram at Stories Your Granny Never Told. We then came back and talked about the closing questions, and then I got to listen to a few of their music, that is Tina and her husband, from their new album, which you can find on YouTube. So please listen and enjoy.
So yeah, my final questions are always, what is your advice for like my generation, just in general, from your experience or, yeah, whatever.
Okay, so I guess my advice would be to, again, just try to stay off your phone.
But unless you're listening to this podcast, then you should stay
you
on
go,
your phone.
There you go. Yes, yes. Listen to this podcast and then turn off your phone for the rest of the day if you can. And then spend time in nature as much as you can, because I think that most of any question or anything that you have, you can get the answer by being with nature. Whether it be a tree or the forest or even a pigeon, the birds, the little rats, any type of nature, I think is so important for everyone to just really listen to and enjoy. And also try to stay away from coffee. Boy, that's a big one. Frankie wants to pipe in.
Okay.
Actually, this is Jason. I'm Tina's husband. It's good to join. I've been kind of, you know, chomping at the bit to get in this. That's another good name for Frankie's solo record, chomping at the bit, right? The record with 20 titles. Okay, if I was to give one piece of advice to your generation,
good.
Which is, what, the 20 to 30 set or something?
Yeah, okay. Approximately.
Okay. For God's sakes, you people. Cook your own meals. Stop with this damn
advice.
Seamless stuff. You'll save so much money. You won't be in debt. Buy the healthiest groceries you can buy, which, you know, go to the 4th Street Food Co-op. I don't know where most of your audience is, but
all over
the place. Support your local food co-op.
Yes.
Volunteer at your local food co-op.
Absolutely.
Cut your grocery bill in half. Do your own cooking.
Grow your own vegetables if you can.
If you got the skills, grow them. And you'll be more in touch with yourself. Friends, I'm sure there's a million things on cooking books to read.
Oh, sure.
Ooh, close call there.
Nice, yeah. I see.
Hey, go to your library and get a cooking book. That's how people learn recipes, right? Okay, I'm going to pass things back over to Tina, and sorry
Thank
for this
you.
Public service disruption.
That was a public service announcement.
Yeah. Yep, that was pretty good. Yeah, I guess that is excellent. And again, I think for me, just trying to stay grounded in this time right now is very difficult. And I know that there are certain things that are, you know, they pull you away from who you really are.
So finally, if people are interested in seeing you, buying your pigeons, buying your music, whatever, where can they find you?
I'm on Instagram mostly, at Mother Pigeon Brooklyn. I also have a website, motherpigeonbrooklyn.com. And then here's Frankie.
It's me, Frankie.
if everyone could go to my YouTube channel, in those 5 minutes a day that you spend online, because we're allowing you a 5 minute or day online, go to my YouTube channel, which is Mother Pigeon's Impeccable Puppet Show. Mother Pigeon's Impeccable Puppet Show, featuring Frankie. That's me! And come watch my latest song and my latest video, including our latest hit, which is called Everything Is Right Where It Is.
Thank you, Frankie.
Thank you! Frankie!
And Mother Pigeon.
And Mother Pigeon, featuring me, Frankie.
And Mother Pigeon.
And Mother Pigeon, too. 1, 2, 3, 4. Everything is right where it is. That's because it's right where it is. Everything is right. Everything is right. Everything is right where it is. Floating like a cloud in the sky. Floating like the birds passing by. Floating like the cloud, flying like a bird. Everything is right where it is. To the bridge. If you're hanging on by a little thread, just try and calm instead. Clouds are passing by, birds are flying high. Here and now in time, everything is fine. Swimming like a fish in a stream. In the stream, floating now without struggling. Everything is right. Everything is right. Everything is right where it is. To the bridge. If you're hanging on by a little thread, just stay quiet and calm and stay. Clouds are passing by, birds are flying high. Here and now in time, everything is fine.
First verse.
Everything is right where it is. That's because it's right where it is. It is. Everything is right, everything is right, everything is right where it is. Everything is right, everything is right, everything is right where it is.
I mean, what more can I say? How much fun was that? If you guys want to go see Mother Pigeon, she's on Union Square sometimes, but you have to check on her Instagram when she's going to be there. And of course, that's only in New York City. I don't even know how to close this. It was awesome. I want to listen to that song over and over and over. I had such a great time. Just, I don't know. Feed a pigeon in 2021. That's what you got to do. But don't feed it bread.
Hi, I'm Lee Oihara, and I'm the host of a how-tos and life hacks show called House of Lee NYC, and I'm also the host of the local neighborhood news show Upper West Side Corner Talk. Please stop on by and join the local fun. Nikki and I are part of the NYC Podcasters Network. Great shows from independent showrunners and a group of podcasting friends. NYCpodcasters.com.